Okay. We're going to continue in the afternoon. We have four more talks. I'm sure more people will be coming in. And so this is Johannes Imam, and he's going to be discussing the no-MP model.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm sure most of them are outside and they will join us, but it looks like you all are interested, and if I get the attention of all of you, that's great for me. I will be talking about land surface models, no-MP land surface models. At Texas A&M University, we have been working on trying to improve soil representation in these models. My today's topic is soil data source and complexity and its effect on the water and energy flux simulation by this land surface model. To give you some background, NOAAMP is a land surface model. It simulates water and energy flux at the land atmosphere boundary. It simulates soil moisture dynamics. It simulates surface energy partitioning to latent and sensible heat fluxes. And these flux, water and energy flux, are usually an important lower boundary inputs for a number of weather and air quality models. It simulates soil moisture, so soil is very important in these models. It's the core component of the model, but it's usually poorly represented. For example, it uses a soil textural map and an associated lookup table for important soil hydraulic properties. It just uses only the soil surface texture, and it assumes a homogeneous 2-meter deep soil profile. Even if it has four nodes, it still uses just a homogeneous soil information. In our previous research, we have been trying with the help from science at NCAR, we incorporate the capability of the model to accept vertically heterogeneous soil information. We also improve the lookup table, because the values in the lookup table, they are really off for the soil syntaxes. For example, it says the permanent wilting point for clay is 0.13, but I don't know any clay which has a permanent wilting point of 0.13. So we improve the lookup table values based on more than 6,700 soil samples from NCAR, from NRCS, and also from Texas Soil Characterization Database. So why do we care to improve soil representation in the model? It's because soil representation affects the water and energy flux by these models, which affects the weather and also air qualities. For example, these researchers from Kentucky, they showed that as we go further from the source of the air pollution, depending on the soil moisture you are using, the trajectory of the air pollution will vary significantly. So it's important to represent the soil well. In Texas, we did a very quick sensitivity analysis, especially for the transect, which passed through the Gulf of Mexico, Houston, and also Dallas, that white line. And we simulate our model at both wet and dry moisture condition. Our wet was at upper field capacity, the dry was at permanent wilting point. And as you can see, after the 2 days of simulation, we can see that there is a significant variability in the prediction of ozone concentration, depending on the location. So as you can see, the difference could reach up to 20 parts per billion. In the world of ozone concentrations, at 20 parts per billion, it's significantly high. It will just jump you from one air quality standard to another. So it's very important to represent soil information in these models. My objective for today's talk is evaluate different soil data inputs. We evaluated different combination of these three characteristics. We evaluate two different soil data sources: the CONUS soil, which is based on SASCO, and it has a soil information at 32nd, which is equivalent to about 1 kilometer square grid size, and it has soil information at 11 different layers. And Polaris, if you attend Nate Chen's presentation yesterday, he introduced about Polaris. He used the Sergo map and its associated covariate statistics in order to create a continuous soil property maps at different layers. The properties, soil properties, we evaluate in the default parameter table. We use the revised parameter table for Texas. And another complexity or another improvement would be to use period transfer function based on percent sand, silt, clay, and organic matter. And the last one, if we have information, it would be to use soil property maps instead of using period transfer function. We also evaluated using homogeneous and heterogeneous soil information. So any combination of these characteristics could be used in the NOIMP model. The business as usual combination would be to use the corner soil, assuming homogeneous soil profile, and using a default parameter table. That's what they are using currently. And I will be comparing different complex levels, it's kind of different improvements. The second one is the corner heterogeneous revised table. The third was using corners heterogeneous but period transfer function, Saxton Rawls period transfer function. And the last one will be using a polar soil information, assuming homogeneous and soil profile, and using a property maps. If we just compare four of them as a soil physicist, the third one, it's a more realistic representation compared to the others. If we had the heterogeneous, it would have been that, you know, Polaris, using Polaris heterogeneous soil profile and using the soil property map would be a better representation. Our study domain is, it includes a larger part of Texas and Oklahoma and neighboring states. It's about 1 million km² area. We run the model at 1 kilometer grid size, which is like a hyper-resolution for land surface modelers. We run the model hourly from January 2011 to September 2012. The first year we use it as a spin-up period. And we need an independent data set to compare our model. We used different soil observatory stations for the soil moisture, and for the latent heat we used the Alexey estimates. This is some of our output. I'll just show you at four different stations with different soil moisture regime. We have a wood acoustic, which is a semi-arid environment, up to a humid environment. If we just forget about the measurement, and if we see, if we compare only the soil informations, we can see that there is a significant variability in the degree of saturation or the wetness index. We could get the wetness index variability of about 50%, depending on the location. So we can see that just by changing the soil information, the degree of saturation, it really varies a lot. If we just compare only the red one and the dark blue, that's a more realistic one. This is a business as well. We can see that just by changing the information, there is a significant variability. Yes, as you can see, the measurement doesn't really fit well because, well, measurements don't usually fit with models. And there are some reasons. The measurement is, it's a point measurement, whereas our model is, it's a 1 kilometer grid model. At the same time, there might be some textual mismatch. Sometimes the measurement is saying some other texture, whereas the model, it's a 1 kilometer² grid size model, that's saying different texture. If there will also be a land use mismatch. So one thing is clear here. By changing the soil information, as a soil physicist, we are trying to improve the soil information. By improving it, we are looking at a significant deviation in degree of saturation. But it's not about the amount of water in the soil that matters. It's about how available that water, which is limited by the field capacity and from our wilting point. If we see this one, which is the water stress coefficient for transpiration, zero stress means the water content is at or above field capacity. One means it's at or below permanent wilting point. You can see that different soil information has different stress index. If we compare the red one, which is a business as usual, you can see that the variability, the dynamics is not that much because that's actually for the year 2012. We had a drought season. We had a relatively wet dormant period, and during the growing season, we had a dry season, and I would expect to get shaped like this or like that, which is the, it's a more realistic representation. The other one was we compared the evaporative fraction, which is the ratio of latent heat to sum of latent heat and sensible heat.
as you can see again, the evaporate fraction also varies depending on the soil information we are using. If we just see the deviation from the red line, which is a business as usual, we can see that whenever we are using heterogeneous soil profiles, there is a deviation in evaporative fraction. We also see a sun trend. There is a higher evaporative fraction during the early months of the year, but as the months progress, we see a reduction in evaporative fraction. What it means is there is a high soil evaporation during the early months, whereas the transpiration was low whenever we are using a better soil information. We tried to compare our models with ALEXI. ALEXI is over-predicting the evapotranspiration, but one thing is clear. ALEXI and whenever we are using homogeneous soil profiles, it looks more of a weather-driven map. Whereas whenever we are using a good soil information, for example, this one, this is a better representation. It's not only the weather, but also it looks like a soil-driven maps. We can even see some of the rivers, the networks. The take-home message for my presentation is meteorology and ozone are sensitive to surface water and energy flux, and these flux are affected by soil representation in these models. One decision data set are still lacking, or if there are some, it's usually inadequate. These days, global soil textural and soil hydraulic properties are increasingly available, and this could easily be incorporated for other communities to start using them in the geogrid. Generally, we need to have a continuous communication between soil scientists and modelers in order to better address the reality. One of the problems we are having is there is soil data and there are modelers, but there is no good link. The data are not in a format which is used by the model. At the same time, the models are not flexible enough to accept the currently available data. So the data and model structure may need to be updated. With that, thank you. And if you have any questions, please.